啊啊，可以理解吧哈、啊？地上的政权啊，不管是国家政府，他在地上的统治。那么教会呢，还有我们弟兄姊妹呢，基督徒从来都是生长在一个政治的环境里面，你没有办法离开过啊地上的国啊。那么有一句话说啊，地上的文化的生长就是教会所撒的种啊，意思是你如果看到这几千年的人类的文明啊，跟耶稣基督改变人的心，耶稣基督改变文化，跟教会的参与和努力是不能够分隔的啊。那么举个例说，如果你生在19世纪的美国，那作为教会你必须要了解奴隶制度是一个怎么回事啊。你知道在废奴运动中间啊，2/3的教会他们都出来啊，在讲台上谈到这个种族歧视，谈到奴隶应该解放啊。所以呢，每个时代在啊教会都有特别的呼召啊。你如果是生活在20世纪的30年代的德国，怎么样？你要对纳粹，你要对国家主义，你要对极左这种政治形态，你要有所了解啊。你如果生活在20世纪50年代的北京啊，50年代北京那个时候怎么样？刚刚解放啊，那个时候基督徒他面临一个很大的挑战，就是为什么呢？就是他们一直所祷告的这个公义啊，这些罪哈、啊，像什么这个妓院呐、啊，像什么黑社会啊，像什么这个烟馆呐、啊、吸毒啊，一夜之间全部都没有了。OK， 所以说这些基督徒他们就在想，哇，我们一直祷告的天国，共产党来了以后全部都没有了，他比我们这个祷告的还有效哎。好了，要不要入党？要不要入党？好，这是一个政治问题。过了几年，抗美援朝开始了，中国出兵去到北韩跟美国人打，那美国这些大兵大部分都是基督徒。如果我在北京50年代是个基督徒，就意味着我要去与我的弟兄一起的这样的战斗，彼此的残杀。请问要不要参军？你如果在北平50年代，你要不要参军？这些都是政治话题。但是当时呢，中国的教会他们在公共神学在政治方面这个装备还有这个重视程度不够，所以说没有能够给我们的这个基督徒们以足够的装备和这个教导，所以说产生了很多的挑战。好了，时间马上就到今天了，我们没有生活在奴隶时代，我们也没有生活在共产主义时代啊，我们是生活在一个后现代的多元化时代。那么我们时代的挑战是什么？保罗说我们要教导是全备的福音啊，全备的真理哈、啊。那么因此呢，在对于这个社会现在的意识形态、社会的状态的话，教会也有一定的责任来教导哈、啊。那么这个是我们今天的一个主题的一个背景和原因哈。在讲这个的时候呢，你会注意到，虽然我们是信仰和政治，但是呢，我会讲到教会和政治、基督徒和政治。啊，教会和政治、基督徒和政治是不同的角色的，啊，那么也包括从历史的角度，从这个圣经的角度怎么看？但是在我们在谈教会和政治，还有基督徒和政治这个过程中间呢，我们要在一个什么样的一个信仰框架下面来讲这个政治的形态和真理？那么。我大概理了大概有3个比较大的这个框架，实际上我们都是很熟悉的。第一个呢，我们相信这个世界上的任何的政治制度它都不能够给我们带来拯救啊，意思是我们的目的不是在地上创造这个天国，对吧？有一句话叫什么哈、叫做是不怕魔鬼一样的对手，就怕猪一样的队友。意思是不管是专制，不管是民主政府，不管是宪政哈，这最好的制度都有可能被你和我这样的猪的队友所搞坏。 那个魔鬼不用怕，那个耶稣已经战胜魔鬼了啊。OK， 那最怕的是像我们这种猪一样的队友哈、啊，任何制度都可以把它搞坏啊。所以说，我们的盼望不是在这个地上啊，我们真正的盼望是在天上哈、啊，是在天国。我们相信唯有怎么样，耶稣基督的福音能够改变人的心，能够让这个社会的公义啊，能够让这个社会的善良能够显露出来哈、啊。那么第三呢，我们也不是叫做激动的文化战士啊，好像是如果我不去这个啊，这个讲到上帝的全能，上帝的他的全知，还有上帝的统治啊，就跟奥古斯丁写了《上帝的国》。啊，那奥古斯丁写上帝的城，对不起，上帝的城的时候，那个时候是罗马帝国的最后一百年，他们是一个基督的王国，是以基督教作为国教的这样一个称为神圣的帝国，居然倒塌了，居然亡国了。这很多神学家、很多的神父、很多基督徒，他们就一下子就懵了，上帝还在掌权吗？那么奥古斯丁就写了《上帝之城》，告诉我们上帝的城他才是真正的我们的盼望啊，他最终要战胜一切的邪恶哈、啊。那么这个是我们的背景哈、啊。那么我们来谈一些具体的，比如说在教会里面谈政治会不会影响我们传福音啊，这个是我们的一个很关键的问题啊。我们今天在谈政治啊，就花了很多时间，我没有传福音呢、啊，这会影响我们的使命呢、啊，影响我们的大使命啊。那怎么看这个问题？实际上，在教会里面谈建堂，在教会里面我们执事会开会，在教会里面东家长李家短，都会影响传福音。所以说问题不是会不会影响传福音，而是正面影响还是反面影响啊，是怎么样的一个影响啊。那么传福音呢是大使命啊。那么谈政治呢，这里我们谈到怎么样基督徒的参与政治是什么样的一个本质。基督徒参与政治的一个本质是行公义、好怜悯，对吧？是我们的主导文怎么样，愿你的国降临，愿你的旨意行在地上如同行在天上。如果主的旨意要行在地上，要靠谁来彰显出来？要靠我们基督徒啊。那么耶稣教导我们是怎么样，要爱人如己啊。我们爱我们的邻舍，就要把最好的给他们。所以呢，我们在谈政治的时候，我们是谈到大诫命。那你还知道大诫命的第一条是尽心尽性尽意尽力爱主你的神，第二条就是爱你的邻舍，爱人如己哈。所以说这里面这个问题的本质是大诫命和大使命的问题。那我问你，大诫命和大使命哪一个更重要？所以说你必须要思考一下啊。你会看到大使命它实际上是大诫命的一个前提，就人只有有了福音，明白福音以后生命改变，我们才能够守住大诫命啊。那么大诫命本身呢，也帮助我们在这个地上能够成为福音的一个平台，能够成为福音的一个见证啊。所以他们是相辅相成的啊。在历史上，公义有公义的社会，怜悯的社会，从来都是福音的见证啊。当我们看到基督徒啊，他们啊，比如说在这个中国的废弃禁鸦片的这个历史中间啊，不管是英国还是美国啊，能够是一对基督徒回来告诉这边的政府，我们要禁止给中国销售鸦片啊。那么这是一个政治方面的斗争啊。那么最后的成功是给这个社会带来公益啊。所以呢，这些呢都是成为我们一个福音一个很好的见证啊。那么会不会影响我们传福音呢？如果我们谈政治谈得合适，根据圣经的来教导的话，那么对福音是会有一个正面的影响的，这是我们希望的啊，这是我们希望。好了，我们再来谈谈教会和政治的关系哈。那么 Jonathan Lehman 他最近写了一个叫做《分裂的时代》里面的政教关系啊，这本书啊。那么在这本书里面，他就谈到教会的一个特点呢，它是好像一个天国的大使馆啊，它见证天国的存在啊，就好像是在中国有一个美国的大使馆。那么这个美国大使馆能不能直接参与 中国的政治呢，它不行的啊。它存在的目的是见证有一个美国，它代表美国的价值观，所以呢它有声音出来，他说北京雾霾超标了 OK， 北京雾霾超标，他可不可以有这样的声音？他可以啊，他可以有这样的声音呢但是呢与当地的政府他会有一些在这种价值观上面会有冲突的啊。那么约翰说怎么样，耶稣就像这个真理，他照到黑暗里面，黑暗并不接受真理啊，所以他有一定有这样的张力的。但是呢教会一个主要的一个存在的目的呢，是让人看到天国的盼望，让人看到福音是我们的盼望啊，这个是教会的一个主要的在地上的一个责任。所以呢等会儿我会看到教会在参政上面的一些的限制啊，但是做基督徒就不一样了。 OK， 做基督徒如果教会是大使馆，那我们是什么？我们是大使，我们是福音的大使啊。那我们在地上的话是双重的身份，我们既代表天国在地上的显现啊，在我们身上啊，福音改变我们的生命，同时呢我们又有选举的权利啊，我们又有从政的权利啊。所以呢上帝给基督徒历世历代有不同的呼召啊。那么有的基督徒他被呼召成为政治家，成为议员，甚至成为总统啊，这些都是神所喜悦的啊。那么常常呢我们在这个基督徒与政治的在这样的关系中间的话，我们也常常会误入几种的误区啊。第一种误区呢就是政治跟我没关系哈，我主要的就是灵修嘛啊，就是跟神关系好嘛哈，就是存在一种封闭的这种状态啊。那么第二种的误区呢就是我是成为这个文化战士，我要改变这个文化啊！我这个就是成为我的一个最主要的一个工作的性质啊。那么让我们离开了我们的信仰的背景，那么这个也不是神呼召我们去做的啊。那么John Piper他说了一句话，他说当一个教会他要去改变文化的时候，这个时候的话他怎么样，他就失去了他的本质，他就失去了改变文化的能力。 OK， 你懂我意思没有啊？因为改变文化的能力来自于福音，来自于人心的改变啊。所以说我们很重要的是当我们在参与的时候，我们要清楚的看见我们要带着福音的使命，我们是要在地上的国来见证天上的国的公义、怜悯、道德还有荣耀啊。这是我们非常重要的一个啊，当我们从政的时候我们有这样的一个特别的目的，并且呢也是因为上帝在掌管，我们的耶稣基督他已经战胜了这些邪恶，战胜了。等会儿那个 Chris J 他会放一些的这个 video， 很多你会看到就说挺扎心的，有时候挺恶心的啊，因为我们后现代的文化就是这样。然后你会觉得哇，这个世界天都要塌下来了，这个世界没有盼望了啊，美国不行了，怎么样的哈啊？但是我们的信仰就给我们这样的一个特别的盼望，特别的看见，知道上帝在掌权啊，给我们安静平稳的心，让我们在这个参政的时候，我们能够带出耶稣基督那种怜悯啊，那种包容，那种见证啊，那种爱的见证啊。好，那么我们还要谈的一个问题就是说怎么样能够合一啊，特别是明年就要大选了啊，我们都很紧张，你不知道我们这个在教会的牧长们都蛮紧张的啊。那么在教会里面的合一哈，我就用到奥古斯丁的一句话啊，那么在这个中文翻译上面是说到在基要的事上合一，在非基要的事上自由，在一切的事上爱啊。 因为在这个分裂的时代，在外面都是分裂的啊，你会看到左派和右派啊，不管是民主党共和党，那这个鸿沟这个分裂非常大啊，以至于我们在很多事情上面我们都变成这个争吵，我们再也没有对话了，我们只有彼此的这个侮辱争吵了啊。但在教会里面，我们今天能够做的一件非常好的见证，就是我们能够合一啊，我们有不同的意见，但是我们能够合一啊，在基要的事上合一。那什么是基要的事呢？这基要的事就是圣经所赐给我们的来自于神的最初的设计的价值观啊，就是本于圣经的道德观啊。那么比如说婚姻家庭呢、比如说这个人的这个权利啊，啊，那比如说我们在堕胎呀、生命权呐、宗教自由方面呢，好，那么在这些事情上面是我们所关心的基要的事情啊。那么什么是非基要的事情上面呢？比如说全球变暖呢，比如说大政府小政府啊，比如征税还是减税啊，是庇护层还是没有庇护层，是福利多还是福利少啊，那么有很多这些的事情我们是需要智慧，所以说我们要给弟兄姊妹一个自由来思考来辨别啊。那么在其他的一切的事情上面，我们要选择爱啊，比如说你选哪个投票的，你选哪个总统，你选哪个投票的哈，你选左边还你选左派还是右派哈，那么在这些事情上面的话，我们需要以爱来包容啊。当然我们要避免是怎么样呢，隔壁王弟兄选什么我就选什么啊，那个是完全的偷懒啊，那个完全的不动脑筋啊。上帝他赐给我们理性，是要我们来思考来用圣经来判断啊，所以我们要做我们的调研，要思考，然后呢在与上帝的祷告中间，我们来投出我们这一票啊。那么所以在教会的合一的话，我觉得是非常重要的一个见证啊，非常重要的一个见证。好了，我们还要再谈应该很快就结束了，那我们还要谈一下那个教会作为一个免税的机构在美国有哪些限制哈。好，能不能再帮我走一个，好 OK。 因为我们作为一个免税机构的话实际上所有美国的教会都一样啊，就是我们不能够公开的支持任何一个候选人，也不能够公开的支持任何一个政党啊。我们可以对一些政府的议题来提出我们的见解，这个是没有问题那么但是呢我们不能够公开的在讲台上来支持任何一个这个候选人。我们教会也在做一些的这个叫做信仰告白比如说我们有一个同性恋的信仰告白那么这个同性恋的信仰告白呢是律师他建议我们做的那么为了保护我们自己因为如果我没有这个信仰告白的话有时候会遇到麻烦，比如说有一对同性恋的夫妇他们到我们教会来寻求证婚那么如果我们拒绝的话，那么我们就会遭受有可能会被诉那么诉的结果呢就是被拒证婚的牧师或者是教会的长老就会有可能进监狱所以你们不一定能见到我了，如果下一次发生这样的事情以后 OK。 那为了保护我们教会呢，所以说律师说你们有这样的信仰告白先放在那个地方那么我们呢做事情呢不是歧视任何人，我们是根据我们的这个信仰告白来做那么很多教会基本上在过去的5年到10年都做了这样的事情 另外还有一些章程我们也在考虑哈，比如说在政治方面的寻求一些选票啊，还有寻求一些这些，我们实际上原则上并不是希望在周五团契啊，那更不是主日敬拜的时间啊，因为在这些时间的话，我们是需要有更多的圣经的教导啊。那么如果有这样的需要的话，我们牧者愿意来配合来 review， 然后我们就可以用一些特定的时间，我们来探讨这些问题啊。那么今天呢，这个就是一个尝试啊，就是一个尝试。好的，那么大概我讲的内容基本上就到这里。那么回到最开始我谈的，什么是谈政治，什么在教会里面基督徒从政呢？很重要的是，我们带着福音的使命，在地上的国度哈，在必朽坏的、在罪恶的、在这个黑暗的地上的国度，见证天国的公义、怜悯、道德和荣耀啊，这是我们从政的一个定义的一个很重要的完成守住大诫命的这样的一个责任啊。也许大家还有一些问题啊，那么我们就把这个问题呢留到后面啊。我下面呢就是会把这个时间呢交给这个 Christopher J， 那我简单介绍一下他哈。那 Chris J 呢，他是一位罗马天主教徒哈。那么他在Wyoming Catholic College 毕业并且呢他拿到了才Ave Maria 法学院的这样的一个毕业的学位他有三个小孩最大一个小孩3岁所以说剩下两个小孩几岁呢，我就不告诉你了。但是他没有没有三胞胎，也没有双胞胎哈。他喜欢音乐、户外活动、社会教育各种的这个爱好那么他更关心人类生活里面对于人存在的意义人的价值在这个社会公益方面所以说他加入了麻州家庭协会那么下面我们把时间交给他，我们热烈来欢迎他。Thank you。
Is this working?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, 有没有人需要翻译？ Does anybody need translation? Okay. Maybe you can sit over there. I'll try to do or maybe Jeremy you can do. Yeah. Thank you.
Raymond, how should I do the PowerPoint? Does that flip the PowerPoint?
Yeah.
All right.
This PowerPoint. Yeah.
Super.
Thank you.
Okay. As Raymond said, my name is Christopher J. Thank you so much for having me here tonight. I'm here with Massachusetts Family Institute. I'm an attorney, and I do have three very beautiful children, my wife and I. 3 years old, this is Frances. 2 years old, this is Jude. And at 9 months old, she thinks she's going on 15. is Miriam. And that's my wife, Caitlin. So at Massachusetts Family Institute, what we do is we are essentially a public policy resource for the state of Massachusetts. We're part of a nationwide partnership. If you've ever heard of Focus on the Family, Alliance Defending Freedom, we're the Family Research Council kind of boots on the ground of associated with primarily with Focus on the Family. And our three main areas are life, marriage, and religious liberty. And I want to stress at the outset that if you do have any questions or know somebody who does have questions, especially my forte, legal questions, you'll kind of see some of these pop up, some stories pop up through this presentation. But if you're being treated as, your high school is treating somebody a certain way because of their religion or whatnot, please, please, please call us. Do not stay silent. Do not feel like you have to back down, because you don't. I'm going to show this video at the end. This is basically a video that we put together in Lawrence, not too far from here, about the No on Three campaign and the impact that a united church can have on the politics of the state, on the culture. Raymond did a great job giving an introduction to the role of the church and how it informs politics, how it informs culture. I was going to mention City of God, City of Man, and he stole my thunder. but these are just, you know, these are just Bible verses that remind us that our role as Christians is not to live under the bushel basket. As St. Peter says to Jesus, "To whom else shall we go, Lord?" And that's what the world is saying. To whom else? No one else has the words of eternal life. And if we're to keep pure and to look after orphans and widows and keep ourselves and our children from being polluted by the world, that involves the whole culture. That involves involvement in society. So, from the big picture, when we step back and think about it, we have the divine law of God. And the divine law of God, it's just truth. It's truth. And from that, from our reason, we can discern aspects of natural law. So I'll say at some points in this presentation, I'll say something to the effect of, you know, this is not merely a religious issue. And what I mean by that is merely not in the sense of, you know, religious issue being small, but merely in the sense of exclusive. There are many things like abortion, for example. You don't have to be of a certain religion to appreciate that abortion kills a child. So it's not an exclusively religious issue. But of course, when you consider the fact that divine law informs natural law, the light of Christ informs politics. And when you're standing in the light of Christ, you can see things, issues like abortion, like gay marriage, so much clearer. But when you're standing outside the light, when you're standing in the darkness, it's very difficult, to say the least. So these are some of the examples of the things that we have dealt with at Massachusetts Family Institute. So I joined Mass Family in August of last year. And this happened, I want to say, in December or November, where a biological male who said he claims he is a woman filed a human rights complaint against a spa. This part on the left happened in Canada. This news story on the right happened not far from here in Boston. And what I'd like to emphasize about this is when you're dealing with somebody in this situation, in this case, a transgender customer, the way I like to think of it is you have two dimensions. You have the legal dimension, but then you also have the personal dimension. And the legal dimension says that the law shouldn't make this the standard. The law shouldn't force people to pretend that a male is a woman, or vice versa. But on the personal, as far as the personal standard goes, this transgender woman coming into this spa is somebody who's struggling, and so as Christians, we're called to love people like this, and it's not love. It's not love to push somebody like this further down the path of confusion. It's the most heartless thing you could do to tell this person, yes, keep hurting yourself. Yes, you know, go further down this path. No, that's not love. That's not love at all. Another example of something that we've encountered was a Catholic school where they refused to hire an employee because they felt he would be he was a man in a gay marriage, and they felt like he would be a bad example to the student. To the students, now Raymond mentioned something about being required to, I think it was perform a gay marriage or something to that effect. Correct, and. Yeah. The reason that we are in this situation, I believe, is because where Christian schools are being forced to act contrary to their religion is because we as Christians have been silent for too long. And I think that people are waking up to that fact. People are waking up and realizing that we no longer have to be silent, and we won't stand silent when the government is telling us that we have to violate our religious beliefs. This is a book that I'm actually reading called Transgender Family Law, put out by GLAAD. GLAAD stands for Gay, Lesbian, Transgender Activists and Defenders. They're very well-funded pro-LGBTQIA+, as they refer to themselves, organization that's kind of our counterpart, pushing in the opposite direction. And one of the things that I do want to get into a little bit tonight is a lot of people, they'll say something to the effect of, well, it's not harming you if two men get married over there. As you know, you can go be in whatever marriage you like. But we know that's not the way it works in society. We know that we're all, in a sense, related to each other. We're all one human body, and we can't escape the fact that we live in a society. And that we have duties and responsibilities and expectations both towards others and from others towards ourselves. And as you can see from this quote, one of the things that organizations like GLAAD are pushing is to take questioning children, children who question their gender, have essentially what could be labeled as transgender issues, take those children from parents who refuse to treat them with hormonal or cross-sex procedures. So long as the parents or parent are basing their decision on accepted medical standards for dealing with transgender children, they have a constitutionally protected right to make their own decisions about how to raise their child. The flip side of that is that if the parents are not basing their decision on accepted medical standards as defined by the courts, as defined by GLAAD, then they do not have a constitutional right to make decisions about how to raise their own children. And this is a book from 2012, and lest it be thought that I'm making stuff up, there are actually becoming more and more cases where parents are losing the custody of their children when child services finds out that the child is asking questions. And in fact, in some of these cases, in a case that happened in Massachusetts that didn't make it into the news, it didn't become public, the children were at school and started talking to the school counselors. And before the parents even knew it was happening, child services were there. And child services took the children because they deemed that the parents were not supporting their children correctly. In other words, the parents were not telling their girls that they were boys. They were telling their girls that they were girls. GLAAD and the organizations who are pushing this are fully aware that what stands between their worldview, their vision of what society should be, and where it is now is Christianity, is religion. And if you watch, you know, if you watch YouTube interviews with people from their organization, or you read their things, they're quite frank about it. They're quite frank that, you know, they usually characterize Christians as the religious right, but you and I both know that right or left, Christians are everywhere. That, you know, no matter how you, you know, left or right or how you want to characterize it, that Christianity is what stands between child services coming and taking your child, and or not, and living in a society that doesn't put up with that. These are three defendants. Jack Phillips, I don't know if you've all heard of the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, but Jack Phillips, and then the two in the middle are photographers, or artists, I'm sorry, and the couple on the left are videographers from Minnesota. And this is yet another example. If it's not your kids that will be taken, it is your business if you stay silent. One judge in the Arizona case, so that's the plaintiffs from the middle, simply stated, if appellants, that's the defendants, as an economic entity, want to operate their for-profit business, they cannot discriminate against potential patrons on the basis of sexual orientation. I'm sorry. Again, I'd like to emphasize that this is not about turning people away because of their sexual orientation. This is simply telling people, look, I don't care about your sexual orientation, I don't care who you are, but I'm not going to create a cake for a gay wedding. I don't care if you're a heterosexual, I don't care if you're a single person. I can't, in good conscience, create a cake for a gay wedding. But these activists don't stop there. They won't let you say that. And the only reason that laws, that these defendants are in fact in court, is because good people were silent for too long. One of the things that we do is, again, we work with Alliance Defending Freedom to be a resource for ministries that want to protect themselves in advance. And I think Raymond kind of mentioned keeping that in mind. Not only that, but I've worked with a few businesses where we've looked at some of their training materials, you know, where they wanted to have kind of Christian themes or some Christian substance to them, and help them, you know, frame it in a way that puts them, you know, on solid ground legally, so they don't have to worry about, you know, any sort of claims of discrimination. Another area that comes up very frequently, actually, is a Bible club at your school. I'm sure everyone in this room has heard the phrase separation of church and state. And the impression that you will get is that as a student, you can't pray in school, you can't have a Bible club. That's simply not true. And you can tell your students this, and I urge them to start a Bible club at school. Imagine if every single one of our schools in Massachusetts had a Bible club. You have a constitutional right to have a Bible club, and Congress has passed laws that protect students' rights to have a Bible club on equal footing with other clubs. So, Lynn, the Lincoln Sudsbury High School in Barnstable, those were all schools that recently a student from one of those schools came to us and basically said, look, the school is telling us that we can't have a Bible club. They refuse to approve our Bible club. What can we do? And so, you know, we would look at school policy. We looked at school policy. We sent the school a letter. And wouldn't you know it, the next day, the administrator would come to, you know, the student and say, oh, well, I guess you can kind of have a club, but it's not a real club. It's, you know, kind of a student-run organization. That's not a club. No, that's not good enough. That's treating somebody, that's discriminating against somebody because of their religion. And so sending them another letter saying, you know, reminding them, and the next day, wouldn't you know it, they come to the student and say, okay, you can have a club, you know, and usually it just, you know, it diffused. They let them have their club, and the Christians don't take over the school. There's nothing to be afraid of. But it's beautiful watching these students not back down, refusing to back down, because I mean, what, there are very few environments, I think, where it would be so easy to just say, you know, I'm not gonna worry about this. Like, I'm just gonna let somebody else do it, or maybe somebody else will start a Bible club next year, and just back away. Than in high school, right? I mean, because you have to see everybody every day, and you know, teachers are giving you grades and whatnot. But these students, they stick with it, and they should, because they have a constitutional right to do so. Another issue is marijuana. Now currently there are over, I believe it's 40 pieces of legislation dealing with marijuana on one aspect or another. Again, I would urge you to sign up for our email alerts, because these are the kind of things that, even if you're not going to drive down to the state house or call your representative or something like that, it's good to know what's going on in your backyard. I mean, everybody here probably, you know, goes on Facebook or watches some kind of news or television or something about national politics. But quite frankly, national politics almost never affects your own backyard. Whereas these issues that I'm covering tonight, these issues really do affect your own backyard, your own community, and it behooves every one of us to at least just keep tabs on what's going on, at least understand what's happening in your community. This is a great example of that. This is in Lawrence. MFI partnered with a couple organizations, and I want to say about 200 people turned out at the city council hearing, and you can just see the picture. The councilors are kind of, they don't want to be there. And Mike King, who is our church outreach guy, he went and he characterized it like the woman in the Bible who keeps knocking and keeps insisting for the judge, just give me what I want, give me what I want. And it was very much like that. And they ended up, I think, either passing the moratorium, saying, you know, we're going to ban pot shops for 3 years, or just banning them outright. I can't remember which Lawrence was, but the point is that this is an example of people who were informed, and because of that, they can respond when things are happening in local politics. They can raise their voice effectively. So this is one thing I want to bring up too about marijuana. Marijuana, it's not the marijuana that you find in nature. So I want to bring this up because this side of the issue is almost never told, right? So usually the story you hear is somebody from the 60s who, you know, smoked marijuana when they were in high school, and they're like, what's wrong with that? And regardless of, you know, even if you're coming from, you know somebody from that perspective, this is a different animal. This is the marijuana that is on the market is much more powerful, much more addictive, and it's already THC infused gummy bears. THC is the chemical in marijuana. Is already responsible for sending some kids to the hospital in